for all I've been given. At the end of every day, I have been blessed with so much more than I deserve. To be here with the ones that love me, to love them so much it hurts. I have been blessed, oh yes, I have been blessed, oh yeah, yeah.
I have been blessed. I have been blessed.
Welcome. You're listening to Living the Good Life, a program originating from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Dunedin, Florida. We believe the Bible is the Word of God and that it reveals our purpose and God's plan for our lives. We're glad you tuned us in. Now, here's Pastor Marcia McAllister.
Praise God. Welcome, everybody. We're glad you've joined us today for Living the Good Life, brought to you each Sunday at this time. And live in the studio with me today is Connie, and it's a joy to have you here with me, Connie. And
thank you.
We've got a lot to talk about today. Mm-hmm. Last week we were talking about trusting God and about the importance of the fact that the trust that we develop of God, the trust that happens on the inside of us, develops actually over a period of time, and we get to a point in life where we have choices to make a lot of times. Are we really going to trust that this thing that's going on in my life or this situation, that God can turn it around for my good? And a lot of times, that is kind of hard, don't you think, to believe that?
Yes, but you know, that scripture, my favorite, one of my favorites, for I know the plans I have for you.
Yes, Jeremiah.
Plans to
yes.
prosper you, not to harm you.
Yes. Yeah. It's a
so
great.
So I have to keep, you know, you just keep some of those words buried in your heart so that you can pull them out. You know, they're like lifelines.
Absolutely, they're lifelines. And that's what Living the Good Life is all about. This radio broadcast is all about the Word of God, the integrity of the Word of God, the importance of the Word of God in your life, and the fact that that is the lifeline. Connie just said that word, and I like that. Mm-hmm. That is the lifeline that we must hang on to every day, no matter what it is we're going through in our lives. Last week, we referenced the verse Romans 8:28 several times, and that says this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Mm-hmm. Now, that's foundational to developing a life of trust and belief. Mm-hmm. And today we're going to take this topic of trusting God no matter what is going on in our lives, and we're going to take it a step further into the area of really believing God for the things that we need to believe God for in our lives. Because there's a lot of times that we know, we kind of sense that the answer is out there, but we don't know how to grab a hold of it. You know, what did we used to do, Connie, before we had such a desire and a need for the Word of God? What did we do about this whole concept in our lives when it comes to believing? You just
try to make happen what you think should happen. And you know, you feel like you're in control, but you're out of control.
Yeah.
And, you know, you try everything to make it. As you were saying that, I was just thinking about, you know, in high school, when you want to know.
Can you remember back that long, Connie?
Yeah. Hmm.
Okay.
When you want to know if the boy likes you,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, and you're like practically chasing him down, hunting him down. You find out where he lives. You drive by his house. You know, it's
That's
almost
called
like
stalking. Connie, you got to quit doing that. Yeah.
So, but you know how you try to make them like you.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
It's the same kind of thing. You try to make everything be in your control. And,
right.
And almost always, nothing is in your control.
Exactly.
Life is just not in control.
So a lot of times people get in their head that to believe for something, they set up something in their mind. This is what I want to have happen. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen this way if I just think positively enough about it. But really, it's a lot of times what you're saying is that we decide the way we want it to be. So it's the control issue.
Yeah, it's control. And then you end up disappointed because most of the time, you know, with our fleshly thinking and carnal life,
right,
you know, it's not what's best for us.
Right.
We think it's what's best for us at the time, and that's what we want.
Right.
It's what we desire. It's, you know, but it's not what's going to make us who we need to be in the long run.
And it's just like a little child or a teenager that thinks they know what's best for them. Mm-hmm. Even when you get to the age of Connie and me too, I guess.
Yeah.
But even when you get to that age and you begin to realize that a lot of times we try to manipulate God. You know,
yes.
we try to make him see it our way.
Or make deals with him.
Make
if you
deals.
Just
have you ever
do
done
this
that?
Right,
yeah.
Yeah, if you just do this right now, I swear I promise I'll
go to church.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Quit smoking.
I did that once.
Whatever. Yeah.
I had a good friend whose child was real sick, and I said I hadn't been in church for a long time, and
my
best friend was just always trying to get me to go to church, and she'd get up and go to church faithfully, and she always said, "Come on, I want you to go with me," and I'm like, "Ugh," and so finally I said, "God, if you'd just heal her, if you'll just take care of her, I promise
that
I'll
child.
Go to church."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so he did for the moment. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of more heartbreaks down the road. But at that moment, it was just the jump start I needed to just go back to church.
And, okay.
And so I did. I made a deal with him, but I kept up my end of the bargain this time. But, you know, I can't say that I always did. But.
And a lot of times when people do make bargains like that, that's a great example, because there's a lot of times that we do bargain with God. Mm-hmm. If you'll do this, I'll do this, you mm-hmm. know? But again, that goes back to my need or our need to control the situation.
Right.
And so a lot of times I think we think that is, I'm believing God for this, you know, because this is what I want to have happen, except that we don't even finish that sentence so that, you know, our fellow Christian believers can hear that part. We just say, yep, yeah, I'm believing God for this. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds pretty spiritual, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is it always? No, I don't think it always is.
No.
I think a lot of times it's motivated by self, what I want
the lottery
to have
numbers
happen.
Or something.
Right.
Something
and I mean,
important,
that would be a great
know?
Idea, God, if you want to bless us with a lottery ticket that wins, that is great. But again, what we're talking about here is that need to make sure that things turn out the way we think they should. Mm-hmm. I have started a series on Sunday mornings for the month of December, and the title of that series is God's Plan is the Best Plan. And I believe right now that all of us can take a look at that concept in our lives and realize that even though we may think we know, we don't always know what is best. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk today about what it means to really believe God and what kind of things is God interested in, and how do we reach out there in faith and believe God and know that he's going to answer. And these are some interesting questions, and I think we are going to get into some great talk here. So don't go away. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Would you agree that there are times in our lives where we need a fresh start, a new beginning, even a do-over? Hi, I'm Elizabeth from the Beacon of Hope Ministries in Dunedin, and I encourage you to discover the God of the fresh start. In Psalms 18:20 through 24, in the Message Bible, it says, God made my life complete when I placed all the pieces before him. When I got my act together, he gave me a fresh start. Now I'm alert to God's ways. I don't take God for granted. On Sundays at 11 and Wednesdays at 7, we gather at our facility at 1812 Main Street in Dunedin to study God's Word and worship him together. He wants you to know that he loves you and has a plan for your life, a plan to bless and prosper you and bring you new purpose and direction. Come, discover principles that will change your life. He really is the God of the fresh start. Venga, reciba sus bendiciones en el beacon of hope.
If you choose to believe,
you gotta believe, you gotta believe. That's a different sound, isn't it? That's by the Katinas. That song is great. Believe is the title of it. You are listening to Living the Good Life today, brought to you by Beacon of Hope Ministries every week at this time. We begin at 4:34, kind of an interesting time, every Sunday afternoon, and go till 6 o'clock in the evening. And we are excited. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister bringing you the Word of God. Go with me to the book of Luke chapter 5 today. In our Bibles, we like to teach. I like to teach out of the Message Bible. And in the month of December at Beacon of Hope, we are studying the book of Luke. And it is a great book. It's got a lot of the life of Jesus in it. It's got the birth of Jesus. So many exciting stories and things there. And I have just been drawn this week to Luke chapter 5. And it's not the Christmas story. This is a little further into the life of Jesus when he is beginning to minister. But I want to talk about it in this first teaching segment. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Once when he was standing on the shore, this is Jesus, of Lake Gennesaret, the crowd was pushing in on him. They wanted to better hear the word of God. Praise God. Do you want to better hear the word of God? That's an exciting thing right now. This is what God is saying to us today. Let's hear the word of God. Hear the word of God. And Jesus noticed two boats tied up. The fishermen had just left them there, and they were out scrubbing their nets. Now, there are times that we are just like discouraged with what is going on in our lives. And really, this is the picture that we see of these fishermen. They had been fishing, and Jesus climbed into one of these boats. They had been fishing all night, and you're going to hear this in just a moment. Jesus climbed into the boat that was Simon's. Now, this guy was Simon Peter. And we know that later on in the next few weeks and months from this incident, Peter became a disciple of Jesus and really, really was strong in the ministry. But at this point, he is still just a fisherman. And Jesus climbed into the boat of Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from the shore. And sitting there, using the boat for a pulpit, I love that. I love that. I tend to use a wooden stool as my pulpit. I don't like the pulpit concept, and I like to walk and move around and sometimes almost fall off of my platform. But other than that, Jesus was using the boat as a pulpit, and he was teaching the crowd. And now we're in verse 4 of Luke chapter 5. When he finished teaching, he said to Simon, "Push out into deep water and let your nets down for a catch." Now, this is where a lot of us are spiritually right now. We have been fishing forever, it seems. We have been plugging along, maybe at this Christian walk, or maybe at the job where we go every day, or maybe at a relationship that we're involved in, or maybe a family situation, or whatever it is. And we've been plugging along. Maybe we've been working hard at it to try to change the tide of whatever is happening. And it's like everything we try in our own humanness doesn't seem to work. And here we see this is the situation with the fishermen. And they have been fishing, and nothing's happened. And Simon responds to Jesus, "Master, we've been fishing hard all night and haven't caught even a minnow." Now that is a discouraging night's work, isn't it? They had been out there all night long. Now some of us, spiritually speaking, feel like we have been in a nighttime situation in the last few months or years. Perhaps everything you have been trying to do just doesn't seem to come together. And maybe you feel like Simon here, where he said, I mean, we didn't catch anything, Lord. We didn't even catch a minnow, for heaven's sake. I mean, nothing. And the next sentence is so important here. I'm in Luke 5, about verse 5. And Simon is saying, he's telling the facts. He's telling the circumstances here. And is that okay to do? Absolutely. It's okay to God and say, "You know what, God, I've been fishing all night and nothing's happening. Or I've been working hard at this or that and nothing's happening. Or God, I've been giving my all in this relationship and nothing ever changes. And I'm, you know, I have this problem and that problem." Whatever your situation is out there today, dear friends, God does have an answer for you today. So stay with us here, because what happens here is Simon immediately, something down inside of Simon. Now, there's no banner. There's no airplane flying over saying, "Oh, by the way, Simon, this is the Son of God. You better pay attention." No, that wasn't going on. There wasn't anybody up on a microphone or a big bullhorn saying, "This is the Son of God, Simon. Listen up." No. Nothing like that happened. Do you know what happened? God on the inside of Simon let him know that he should pay attention. God on the inside of you, dear friend, right now is saying, pay attention to these words. This is going to change your life today. Because Simon first gives the facts, and we do this so often. We say, Master, you know, nothing's happening. I've been working at this job, and I've been diligent. I go to work every day, and everything I try, and really, folks, I can relate to this because I've been a realtor for 16 years, and this has been the hardest year of my life in real estate and in my finances because I've been diligent. I go to work every day. I put time in. I take care of my duties as a realtor, and I could say this very same thing today, but the next word is but, okay? But here's what Simon said, but if you say so, oh, I love that. But if you say so, okay, Simon turns to Jesus and says, yep, these are the facts. I haven't been able to catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets. Now, this is critical to this topic of trusting God and believing God. And Connie, if you don't mind making a note of this, we'll talk about it in just a minute when you come back on here. What the critical part right here is that we've got to get the mind of God and find out what God is saying in our situation, okay? Because Simon suddenly realized, whoa, this is not just any ordinary man. This man has been sitting here in my boat teaching for the last few hours, and obviously Simon's heart was changed by what he heard. And so instead of just moaning and groaning, you don't see Simon moaning and groaning here. What you see is this. Simon says, but if you say so, I'll let down the nets. It was no sooner said than done. A huge haul of fish. I'm in about verse 6 of Luke 5. A huge haul of fish, straining the nets past capacity. Wow. The minute Simon decided to believe Jesus and let down the nets, he had to do something. That's action. And I believe that belief has a lot to do with action, which we're going to talk about in just a few minutes. But Simon had to do something. He had to follow the direction of Jesus. We have to follow the direction of the Lord in our specific circumstances. And here's what happened. When Simon, instead of bellyaching and saying, oh God, there's no way that this is going to change. I mean, I haven't been catching any fish and you don't know how bad the water is tonight. There's no fish. They've just all gone some other place. There's none around here. On and on and on. Simon could have done all of that. We could be reading a paragraph of Simon's moaning and groaning right now, but we're not doing that because the very next word after Simon said, here's the situation, Simon, the next word he said, but if you say so, I'll do it. If you say so, I'll do it. Dear one, this is critical, this concept, to the whole topic of trusting God and believing God. When God says something, then we have to do it. Okay? And so here's what happened. All of a sudden, this huge haul of fish came in, and they were straining the nets, and he had to call for help to bring all these fish in. They were ready. These fish were so many that they were ready to swamp his boat. Now, dear friends, I believe this is a rhema word for some of you out there today. What that means is this is not just a nice story written in the Bible. This is a story that the Holy Spirit is using right now in your life to change your situation. We're going to talk about what you specifically do when God says something to you. Here's what Simon did. He obeyed. Simon went out and he got help and he got all these fish. Now, I am in verse 8 of Luke 5. Simon Peter, when he saw all of this miracle, abundance that happened to him, he fell to his knees before Jesus. Do you know what a miracle does for you? We got to write this one down too, Connie. A miracle causes you to realize the power and the absolute deity of God. All of a sudden, when God intervenes and moves in your situation like this story, you fall to your knees. You fall to your knees. You realize God did something you couldn't do. And let me tell you, from walking with the Lord all my life and being a pastor for 20-some years, I can tell you that God loves to do things like this. He loves to get us to allow ourselves to get to the point where we can't change our situation. And then he comes in so powerfully and brings the abundance or the answer or whatever it is we need. And when this happens, we are in awe of God. And it says here that Simon Peter, when he saw the miracle, fell to his knees before Jesus. And he said, "Master, get out of here. I'm a sinner. I can't handle this holiness. Leave me to myself." Simon was realizing that in his own strength, he couldn't change anything and that he was standing in front of God himself. And when they pulled in that catch of fish, awe overwhelmed Simon and everyone with him. It was the same with James and John, Zebedee's sons and co-workers. And Jesus said to Simon, now this is very good, and this is, we're going to come back here in a minute with Connie. We're going to talk about this verse. "There is nothing to fear. From now on, you'll be fishing for men and women." And here's what they did. They pulled their boats up on the beach. They left them, nets and all, and followed him. They didn't even take the fish. They didn't even take time to go to market with the fish because they had a supernatural encounter with the Lord God himself, and it changed their lives. We'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to Living the Good Life.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network, broadcast home of I'm Us in the Morning on AM 1340 WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg, and AM 1350 WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel.
Hi, my name is Sean. I've had some time in my life where I wondered if anyone understood or cared how I felt or knew what was going on inside of me. Maybe you felt the same way. I'm from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and I invite you to join us Wednesdays at 7 and Sundays at 11 as we learn dynamic truths found in God's Word that gives us the answers to life's hardest problems. Beacon of Hope is a place where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. That's our purpose. That's our vision. We're located at 1812 Main Street in Dunedin. We welcome you to visit us soon. Check out our website at www.beaconofhopeministries.com for details and directions to Beacon. Also, tell a friend about this radio show, Living the Good Life, brought to you live every Sunday at 4:30 on this radio station and on the web at www.tantalk1340.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless you.
Praise God. You are listening to Living the Good Life, brought to you by Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we're on the air every Sunday at this time. Connie, I'm glad you're with us. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister. We just got done teaching from Luke chapter 5, and there's some important truths here.
Wow.
Some good stuff about learning to believe God.
You know, that last line that you just read just really hit me today. You know, I remember singing in Sunday school about being fishers of men.
Right, yes.
But the way the message words this, and Jesus just says, there's nothing to fear. From now on, you'll just be fishing for men and women. It just really hit me. Wow.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
Why is that so powerful right now? Does it put life into its proper perspective for us?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I remember saying this morning in my sermon that I've just been really having such a sense lately of this, the shortness of life,
mm-hmm.
that we're only here for such a short time, that all eternity is forever, and we're going to be forever in the presence of the Lord or not.
Yeah, we're going to be dead a whole lot longer we're alive.
We're going to be dead a whole lot longer we're going to be alive. Right.
I mean, that's not exactly the romantic way to say it,
right.
But, you know, I remember saying that to you this morning, but
It's true.
Yeah, it's true.
So what we're doing right here.
So we need to plan for eternity.
Yes.
And it's all about whether we take our friends with us.
Exactly. And it's whether or not we believe that there is eternity out there. Mm-hmm. Whether or not we believe that our relationship with God is more important than our golf game or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Although golf is very important,
yes,
I will
is.
Tell you that, yes.
I would agree.
But you know, what are our priorities? Okay? Mm-hmm. And when it comes down to it, I think a lot of people have gotten sour on this whole thing of believing God for the needs in their lives because they haven't seen, quote unquote, it work for them. You want to talk about that?
It depends on what your priorities are.
Right.
It depends on what you think.
Right.
You know, once, if you would just let God be in control.
There you go.
Then you would know. I mean, then you would see what is important to you.
Exactly.
Because, you know, life never turns out the way we think it should.
No, never.
I mean, and when are we going to learn it? You know, what's the definition of stupidity?
Insanity.
Insanity, yeah. Keep doing the same thing the way you always did it and expect to get a different result.
Right, exactly.
That's how we live our lives. Insane.
Right, yeah. And God says, hear me. Get my wisdom on a situation, okay? It's not about just getting a crazy idea in your head. Okay, well, this must be the way. Is that idea given to you from God? Is that idea coming to you from the Holy Spirit within you? Or is that just an idea in your head? Because interestingly enough, in this story, it made no sense for Simon to reach out and go back out into the very same water where he had just been. Because he said, we didn't catch anything out there. And so in essence, in a way, really, he's going back and doing the same thing. But he gets a different result. But why does he get a different result?
Because he trusts God.
Because he trusts God. Mm-hmm. He believed Jesus when Jesus said to him, you know what? You need to go back out there. Okay?
It's like taking a chance.
Right.
Risk. And when something happens, you've tried and tried and tried the way that you've been taught to do something.
Right.
But then it goes against everything that you've been taught to do it again.
Right.
And yet you get a different result.
Right.
It's a miracle.
It is. It's a miracle.
Nothing less.
But don't you think the key to all this, Connie, has everything to do with listening to the voice of God within us?
Obedience.
It's obedience. It's learning to hear that voice. This whole concept's been on my heart a lot this week. Mm-hmm. And I may be going to teach a series on it in January. I'm not sure. But about how do you know when you're hearing from God, or is it just yourself? Or is it just your pizza you had for dinner or whatever it is? Right. What is it? How do you know? Because this is vital here. In this story, Simon had to choose to believe that this was no ordinary encounter with this man who borrowed his boat. As I said in the teaching, there wasn't any person up there on a loudspeaker saying, this is the Son of God. Mm-hmm. So down on the inside of Simon, he had to know inside of him, is, as we say, and this is kind of a religious phrase, but it bears saying right here, down on the inside of him, his spirit had to bear witness. And that phrase means something had to gel on the inside of Simon, that he was not just talking to any ordinary person, but this was indeed the Son of God who was giving him direction. Okay? And I think a lot of times we don't reach out and believe God because we're not even sure we've heard him.
Yeah. But sometimes when you get that feeling, you're right, it gels.
Right.
And it just seems right.
It seems right.
And you're taking a chance.
To somebody, you know, who's never felt that feeling, what's that feel like?
Well, it's scary and it's neat.
Okay.
It's really, really cool, but it's also really scary because what if it's not?
What if
then
it's
you're
not?
You're going to look like a fool.
Right.
You know, and trusting God. But, you know, he's faithful to make sure that we don't look foolish.
Right, right. He is. He's faithful. Mm-hmm. He always is faithful. Mm-hmm. I was talking this morning about Mary and how mm-hmm. Mary was handpicked by God. And one of the reasons she was is because Mary actually, I believe, knew that she had that relationship with God down on the inside of her heart. And when the angel said, this is what's going to happen to you, then Mary's response was, be it done to me according to your word. In other words, what you said, that's it. Okay, God, because you said it, I choose to believe it. Okay, Mary did not, in that story in Luke chapter 1, did not question God and say, there's no way. I mean, I'm this, I'm that, I'm just a little teenage girl. How can I give birth as a virgin? How any of that? She really, as soon as it was said to her, this is what's going to happen, you're going to carry the Son of God, she said, okay, be it done to me according to your word.
Unlike the other people that we read in the Old Testament that,
right.
You know, why me? No, I'm not going to do it. Jonah, Noah, you know, and all those things. A few weeks ago when we were talking about the call of the impossible.
Yes.
And how there were many, 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 and still are being people called to do God's work that aren't equipped.
Right.
But he equips the called.
He does.
He takes care of that part.
He does. And he saw what he did for Mary. He prepared her.
Yeah.
And in this story, in Luke chapter 5, Simon's heart must have been after God, even though he didn't even know anything about this Jesus. We don't know if this is his first introduction to Jesus. The Gospels make it sound like this is the first time that he knew about Jesus.
But sometimes there's just an emptiness inside of you.
Right.
That you're looking for something.
Right.
And, you know, I think that a lot of people in this world will try drugs or sex,
right,
or, you know, all kinds of things to try to fill that void instead of really looking for,
yes,
something that can last.
Oh, absolutely. I know it. That's so common. And thinking that we can, back to the point that we made at the beginning of the show, Connie, which I think bears repeating, we get it in our heads that we have the answer of what's best for us. And if we can just twist God's arm, you know, hard enough, we can get him to do what we want him to do, mm-hmm, you know?
He's kind of like a grandfather or a father who knows that he wants his child to be a certain way.
Right.
And he'll let us kick and scream and twist his arm and, you know, and play with him and jump around on him and tease him and,
right,
that kind of thing. But when it comes down to the rubber meeting the road, it's his way or the highway.
It is.
And the sooner we realize that, the better off we'll be and less bumps we'll have on our head.
Oh, that's huge.
And less bruises and scuffs on our knees.
That is huge, what you just said. The sooner we understand that it is God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the title again, one more time, of this series I'm teaching this month at Beacon of Hope on Sunday mornings. God's plan is the best plan. Now, a lot of us, I think, even though we would like to say, yeah, I believe that God's plan is the best plan, a lot of us, I think, still struggle with this on a daily basis. Oh, God, would you please fit your plan into my plans? Would you make sure that I get the person in my life I want, that I think is the best for me,
mm-hmm,
or that I get that dream job that I need, or God, I'd really like to have that Mercedes Benz, or God, I'd really like to have that boat, or I'd like to have this happen or that happen, or would you make sure that that person calls me and is attracted to me, and all of that stuff, mm-hmm, that we all do and, mm-hmm, have done in our past to try to twist God's arm.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really believing.
Or like pleading with him and, you know, how like, Dad, please let me take the car out.
I want, you know,
it's the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you just let me, I promise. If you know.
This is a really important concept here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a nice drink of my Diet Coke with lime here. Isn't it good? Anyway, this is a really important concept because it, as a parent, which I've had 3 kids and now several grandchildren, when you have children, you realize that they try to manipulate you.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to do that from the time they are very, very little. My oldest son, Ryan, when he was 4 or 5 months old, his dad and I decided we were finally going to go out for an evening for the first time at all, ever. We were going to go to a movie or something with friends. I can't remember what it was. So we got a babysitter. And this lady was probably 60 years old. And she came in and little Ryan stood up and he, or, you know, in his in his crib, and he was, you know, hanging onto the rails, and he was crying and crying, and he didn't want us to leave. And she said, "Get out of here, go, go, go. He's going to keep doing that because he's controlling you." And I said, and here I'm like 20 something, very young. And I said, "Oh, wait, no, no, no. He's a baby. He's only like 4.5 months old or 5 months old. He's not controlling." "Oh," she said, "trust me, he's controlling you. He's running this household." And I said, "No, that's not possible." Well, to make a long story short, the more I talked to her, and then she became a babysitter that we used different times, she taught me, this young mother, a lot about the fact that children can control at that young age, and they can twist things to make it go their way and make you feel bad so you don't go out because we don't want the baby to cry, you know, stuff like that, you know. Well, what we're talking about is this very thing with God. A lot of times we do that very thing. That is not believing God for your miracle. That is called manipulation and trying to control
God. Plain and simple.
Plain and simple. But we do it. We do it.
We all do it.
But Simon didn't do that. He just said, "Okay, God, if you say so, I'll do it."
Too cool.
Isn't
that? Smart man.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then when the miracle came in, he didn't say, "How'd you do that, man? What happened? What was going on there? How'd you do that? I want to make that happen." What is so cool about this passage in Luke chapter 5 is that the minute that this miracle happens, Simon drops to his knees in worship of God. Mm-hmm. He recognizes where the miracle comes from.
Yeah.
When we have answers to prayer, we have to stop what we're doing and say, "God, I acknowledge you did that. You did that." We've got some new people in our church, Renee and Liz. And today we were talking to them after church because Renee had a miracle.
Yeah.
3 Sundays ago today, at the end of the service, a lot of times people come up for prayer and I pray over them. And a lot of times I do not ask them what it is they need. That day, Renee came up and she just said, I need a physical miracle. She didn't say what it was. I said, "Okay." And I began to agree with her. And you were standing there, yeah, Connie, and some other people. And we began to agree with her for the miracle. And we didn't even ask her what it was. Okay? We left there. That was the day we had the big Thanksgiving dinner at my home. And so as we're walking in the house and everybody's rushing around and getting the pots ready and putting all the stuff in it and making gravy and doing mashed potatoes and all that stuff, Renee comes up to me and says, "Pastor, can I talk to you for a minute?" I said, "Sure." She says, "I want to tell you something happened to me this morning." And I said, "Oh, sure, tell me." And she said, "You know, when you laid your hands on me, I have this left ear that the nerve ending in my brain is gone." And, you know, she explained this awful infection and everything. She said, "I haven't had any hearing in my left ear for 2 years." And she said, "I can hear perfectly fine now." Now, people were yelling at her and covering her other good ear and all this. And today it's been 3 weeks. And she said today after church, "I got my miracle 3 weeks ago today because I believed that God could heal my ear, even though the doctor said it would never change."
And she took the action to come up for prayer.
Well, this is a big part of believing, don't you think?
Yep.
You know, you and I were talking about this. Go ahead. Talk about that a little bit more.
If you just sit in your own little pity party.
Right.
And talk about to yourself how bad things are and what you don't have.
Right.
Instead of reaching out to the one, the one and only who can make everything happen.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, whatever it is, nothing is impossible.
Nothing.
With God. Nothing.
That's what the angel said to Mary today. Nothing is impossible with God. Because Mary, the angel told Mary after he announced that she was going to become pregnant with Jesus, the angel said, "Oh, and by the way, your cousin Elizabeth, who they all called barren, who has not been able to have a child, well, she's 6 months pregnant." And you can imagine the look on Mary's face. "What? Elizabeth pregnant?" You know? And the angel said, "Because nothing is impossible with God." And dear friend out there in radio land today, if you don't hear anything else today, you need to hear that. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing, nothing, nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Now, there's a big difference between saying, "All right, okay, I'm going to go buy this lotto ticket and it's going to be the one and I'm going to win it." Because you see, if if it's really God, it's got to be a witness down in your spirit that God is putting that. Not to say that God can't cause you to win the lottery. He mm-hmm. could.
Sure.
But is he putting something down on the inside of you that you need to believe God for? He's been doing that with me, several things lately. And it's like a big step of faith to reach out and say, okay, God, here's what I feel like you're saying to me, and I choose to believe I'm hearing you. Mm-hmm. Okay? I choose to believe I'm hearing you. Go ahead.
And just like Renee stepped out and came up front.
And that's what you just said.
That action.
The action. Mm-hmm. She chose. When the invitation was given, she recognized that God was healing people right then. And she got out of her chair and came around the corner and came up and stood there in faith. And what did God do? He honored that prayer mm-hmm. of faith. He honored her belief. This is what it's all about. It's time to believe. It's time to believe. If you're listening here today, I want you to begin to pray and ask God to minister to you. Maybe even during this next song that we do, Time to Believe, because we're going to talk more about exactly what you do to get your miracle, what you do to reach out there and have your circumstances change, because there are some things. These are some keys that Connie and I have been talking about here right now, but there's more, and we'll be right back. Listen to Time to Believe.
Ice is forming on the river. The barges are held and towed. Cold gray dawn, chilling to the bones. Must be 10 below. Somehow you feel lost and alone out here, feeling like you ought to leave. Such hard living in this cold, cold world. People, it's time to believe. People, it's time to believe. Sounds tear through the morning. You pull yourself from your bed. Try so hard to quiet your mind, dodging thoughts of what lies dead ahead. A chance to be dashed on the rocks, fooled by friendly lights, shining solely to deceive. Such a living in this cold, cold world. People, it's time to believe. It's time to believe. Remember when storm clouds come, soon the sky is gonna clear. Just put your faith in him. It's time to believe.
Praise God. People, it's time to believe. You're listening to Living the Good Life, brought to you each week at this time from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. People, it's time to believe. Just put your faith in Him. People, it's time to believe. Connie, that's a great song. I've never heard that before. We love to come up with different styles and different things, but we're always looking for the message in these songs, something that people can relate to and really get into, you know?
We fretted all week trying to find the right songs.
And that's a great song.
It really turned out.
That's a great song. If you're with us right now in your Bible, go with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. And if you don't have your Bible, that's fine. Just listen, because you're all going to remember the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And speaking of that, that is one of the great stories that I really use in my new book, Living Large and Loving It. And we have just released that a few weeks ago. We have released two books this year from Beacon of Hope Publishing. Lessons from the Fiery Furnace was my first one, and Living Large and Loving It is the second one. You can go to our website at www.beaconofhopeministries.com to order them, and we will be glad to send them to you postage free. So we'll be happy to do that. And in this new book, I talk a lot about Daniel. And Daniel, in this story right here, Daniel is in a bad situation. And Daniel learns that there's been a decree signed. I'm in verse 10 of Daniel 6. And posted. And he continues to pray just as he has always done. You see, the king had been influenced by some bad guys in his kingdom. And they had gotten the king to write an order saying that they were not to worship any other god other than their statue, you know, and this was what they had to do. And Daniel always worshiped God and prayed three times a day. Now, if you're, and this is no magic formula, I'm just throwing this out to you. If you're really up against a bad situation right now, maybe you should follow Daniel's example. Daniel did not take his situation lightly. He went three times a day, and he went consistently to a place. And he prayed, and it says in Daniel 6, verse 10, when Daniel learned that the decree had been signed and posted, he continued to pray. Now, wait a minute. Daniel had been told, don't do this or you're going to be thrown in with the lions. And Daniel, when he heard that this law had been passed, instead of fretting, sitting down and giving up and crying and being all upset and going, oh no, they're going to kill me. They're going to throw me into the lion's den. Daniel continued to pray just as he had always done. You see, we've got to develop a life of consistent prayer in order to believe God for the miracles that we need to believe God for. His house had windows in the upstairs that opened toward Jerusalem. Now, Daniel didn't just go in secret down in his basement and pray and hope that nobody would find out that he was down there praying and going against the new law. No, Daniel was very brave. And Daniel, it says here, went to this special place in his home by the window where he had always prayed. And he began to pray consistently, continued, not began to, continued to pray consistently three times a day, probably morning, noon, and night. And he prayed there. And it says here in the end of verse 10 of Daniel 6 that he knelt there in prayer, thanking and praising his God. He presented his situation before God, just like Simon did to Jesus, saying, wait a minute, we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught anything, but if you say so, I'll go out and fish again. Well, Daniel was consistent in going to God in prayer. This is one of the huge keys to getting the miracles that you believe God for. I throw it out to you today, consistency in your prayer life, in your thanking God, in your praising God, is going to bring you the answers that you are seeking. If you need a pen and a paper to write this down, then go grab one, because I'm going to say it one more time. I believe that one of the reasons we don't get the miracles and the answers that we need is because we are very inconsistent. We are very, I'll pray about it one day and then I'll forget about it for 3 weeks. And, I need to pray about that again. I forgot all about that I'm believing God for that miracle. Daniel gives us a great example here. God took me to this passage a few days ago when I was seeking God about something going on in my life, and the words just jumped off of the page at me. That's called a rhema word, when it jumps off of the page at you. And I suddenly realized there is no substitute for consistency in our lives. Daniel went 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night, and he said, God, here's my situation. And then he began to thank God for the answer. He began to praise God that the answer was on its way. Well, we all know the outcome. Yes, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Yes, he did have to endure that awful situation overnight. But you all know the end of this story. Daniel was not touched by the lions. They all slept together. They just all took a nap. They just all kind of, you know, hung out in the lion's den. And I think they probably, some of them probably walked around and looked at him a little funny and like, what are you doing down here with us? You know, or maybe they growled a little, or maybe they purred. I don't know, because they were big kittens, you know, big lions. But instead of tearing him to pieces and eating him for dinner, they all hung out together in the lion's den. And Daniel got his miracle. Now, I can tell you this happened a few thousand years ago, and it still speaks to my heart right now, Connie. It speaks to my heart that it is consistency, it is trusting God, it is faith, it is putting it out there. God, here's what is going on in my life. I need an answer. I need a miracle, God. It is telling it like it is, like Simon did. Yeah, I've been fishing all night, haven't caught a thing. But if you tell me so too, Lord, I'll go out and fish again. Okay? Daniel, consistently, not afraid of the outcome, trusting that God had the outcome in the palm of his hand and that he had the best answer, the very best answer for Daniel. And it happened. It worked. And Connie referenced a verse a few minutes ago that I really feel like we need to go back and look at again. And it's found in the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was a prophet. And boy, he said some strong things. But this is a powerful verse. And actually, some of you may know this, but we have based this whole radio endeavor that we have at Beacon of Hope Ministries. And by the way, today is show number 35. Those are great numbers, Connie, 3 and 5. And it's this verse is found in Jeremiah 29, and it starts with verse 11. And these verses are what we base this broadcast on. And it is this. God says this in Jeremiah 29, 11, and I believe it is for you today, listening out there today. God says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Now, I'm reading from the Message Bible, and I love this. I know what I'm doing, God says. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Now, this is God's word to you right now, Jeremiah 29, 11. I wasn't planning on using this scripture today on this broadcast. And when Connie brought it up, it just hit my spirit. And I knew somebody needs to hear this right now. I'm going to read it again, Jeremiah 29, 11. God says this to you, dear one. I know what I'm doing, says God. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. Now, Daniel knew this because he went to God and he prayed and God listened. And that's what it says right here in Jeremiah 29, verse 12. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Whoa, some of you out there need to go looking for God. And let me tell you, you need to go to God. You need to go looking for him. You need to call on him. And here's your promise right now. When you call on me, saith God, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Whoa, I don't know about you, Connie, but that just stirs on the inside of me. Absolutely. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, this is verse 13 of Jeremiah 29. When you get serious. Now, this is a key.
This is it right there.
Yeah. When you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. There are people in our listening audience today, Connie, around the world who are beginning to feel the tug of God on their lives. They're beginning to feel that God does care about them and have a plan for their lives. There are people out there listening today who know that something different is happening on the inside of them. Wow. Mm-hmm. Connie, let's talk about this. We were going to have a commercial right now, but I think we'll just wait for a while. Connie, this is, we got to go with this.
There's so much disappointment in people's lives nowadays.
Yes.
There's just so much turmoil and tragic things happening and disappointment. And, you know, people let you down all the time.
Yes.
But God will never, he'll never let you down.
Right.
Never.
Right.
And if you just, I just love the way the message does this. If you're serious about finding me and you want it more than anything else,
that's it.
Sell out.
That's
it. Sell out and you won't be disappointed.
Right.
You know, and most people think that if you're a Jesus freak or,
right,
you know, that, you know, you're a quote religious or a Christian, that, you know, you have to give up so much in your life and you have to, you know, it's not cool.
Become
and
weird.
It's this
become
and that,
strange.
You know. Yeah, and it has all those little idiosyncrasies attached to it. But
right.
In reality, this is the only way to live life.
It's the only way to live.
It is. And the word there is live.
Right.
Because you're going to live forever.
Amen.
You're not going to just live for the chronological years that you're going to be here on this earth.
Live well, live blessed. That's our slogan at Beacon. And that's what God is saying he wants you to do. And you live well and you live blessed when you reach out and you believe God for the things you need in your life. Mm-hmm. When you believe God for change to happen, say in a marriage or a change to happen in a work situation or a financial blessing or whatever it is. Are we saying that you can't reach out and believe God for that? No, we're telling you to do that.
Do it.
But there are several keys we've been talking about today. And one of those is consistently going to God in prayer, not just when the battle is raging and your back is up against the wall is when you should pray. No. Talk about that.
No, because I mean, that's the 911 God that everybody calls on.
Right. Everybody calls on that.
You know, but to have a relationship and a day-to-day walk is just indescribable.
Right. If you were in a marriage situation or a relationship with somebody and...
It'd be different.
Yeah. Right. I was once. But if you were in a situation like that, you would have to consistently work on that relationship.
Sure.
Right? On a
yes.
daily basis, correct?
Well, if you want it to be successful.
If you want it to be successful.
Yes.
I mean, you can't just disappear for 3 months and come back. I knew somebody whose husband did that and walked away and left for a while and then would come back a few months later. Oh, yeah, well, I went there and did that. And, you know, and he just expected everything to be fine when he came back, you know. That is no basis for a good relationship, right?
But you know what? It's different with God because people go away all the time.
They do go away all
and
the time.
He's when you come back, he's like, where you been? What you been doing? Come back.
Yes.
It's nice to see you again.
And what he says right here, when you call on me, it doesn't say if you have been calling on me every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are saying...
We're kind of contradicting what we said, that we need to have a consistent walk.
Right.
But
talk about that.
Well... Because
we're really not, but go ahead and explain it.
Because consistently, then you have you reap more benefits.
Amen.
You know, you
Amen.
Have more joy.
Right.
Tons more joy, more happiness, more joy, more of everything.
Exactly.
More God.
Right.
And you know, I think that there's a lot of people who are Christians who just kind of play it safe.
Right.
And they just kind of sit on the fringe, and they kind of enjoy a few of the fringe benefits, but they're not in the water deep,
exactly
experiencing everything.
Right. And Jesus said to Simon, put out into the deep water.
Yeah.
Put your boat out there in the deep water. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The deep water spiritually is a life of consistency. Mm-hmm. It's a life of getting a hold of some scripture and hanging on that and believing God based on that and hearing God's voice down on the inside of you. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24, he said, if you speak to the mountain in your life, whatever that is, mm-hmm. why don't we just run over there a minute? Let's just go over there.
Yeah, because we were talking about that part. When you pray, believe that you receive. That's that first part on that area
is.
Of the verse.
It is. Mark 11, 23 and 24. And Connie and I were driving behind each other today to the radio station and on the phone the whole way. And we were talking about this very passage, Mark 11, starting with about verse 22 to 25. Do you want to read all that, Connie? 22 to 25?
Let's see.
Starting with Jesus was matter of fact.
Yeah, Jesus was matter of fact. Embrace this God life. Really embrace it and nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance, just say, go jump in the lake. No shuffling or shilly-shallying.
Wow.
And it's just as good as done. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything.
Whoa, say that sentence again.
That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large. Include everything as you embrace this God life, and you'll get God's everything.
Wow.
Everything.
Everything.
God has everything.
He's got everything.
More than what we think everything is.
Peace, comfort,
you know, more
joy.
More than Barbie.
And Barbie has everything,
and Barbie
right?
has everything, yeah. And when you assume the posture of prayer, remember that it's not all asking. If you have anything against someone, forgive. Only then will your Heavenly Father be inclined to also wipe your slate clean.
Wow. Do you know a huge part of believing has to do with forgiving?
Forgiveness.
And we could do a whole show on that. Oh my gosh, because that's huge here.
Well, and you know, he tells us in the Lord's Prayer to forgive others.
Yes.
So that we can be forgiven.
Amen.
So if we don't forgive others, is that what's blocking some of our answers to
and
prayer?
It very well could be. And I have found through years of pastoring and years of walking with the Lord that there are a couple huge blocks to answered prayer. So if you're sitting out there with a pen and pencil, write these down, or pen and paper, I'm sorry. The first one is unforgiveness. That's huge. That blocks you from receiving God's best for you. And the other thing is unbelief. Mm-hmm. Unbelief. When we just don't believe that God can. Or will, for me. And a lot of that has to do with our feelings inadequate or
worthiness.
Unworthy, to receive. Mm-hmm. But I love this passage in Mark 11, 22 to 25, because Jesus says, I urge you to pray for absolutely everything. Now, some of you out there today are saying, but you don't know, Pastor, what I'm going through. No, I don't.
But God does.
But God does, right. And if you do want us to agree with you in prayer for your specific need, we are going to do, in January, we're going to do some different things on the radio. And one thing we're going to do is allow you to call in with some of your needs and that mm-hmm. we can pray mm-hmm. on the phone and on the broadcast for you. But if you want to tell us what your needs are, email me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. That is so easy to remember. Everybody can. And I get all those emails. pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. And tell me, because God says here, pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large. That's everything. Include everything. Wow.
Wow.
God wants us to believe him for the small things, mm-hmm. for the large things, for the medium things, for the things that we think there is no way that God can change this situation. But he mm-hmm. can.
Yeah. He's the only one that can.
So it is consistency. It is getting a hold of what God is saying, listening to God, okay? And we didn't go with this whole concept of fear, but, you know, back in the story in Luke 5, Jesus says to Simon, don't be afraid here. Don't be afraid. You're not going to be fishing out there for fish, literal little fish anymore. You're going to be fishing for men and women. You're going to be fishing for the souls of people. And that is what it's all about, dear friend.
Wow, what a responsibility.
What a responsibility.
Wow.
It's all about saving souls.
Yeah.
It's all about saving souls. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I feel very encouraged right now that God is going to do some miracles in people's lives here in just a moment. We're going to come back and pray for you in just a moment. Wanted you to hear this song, I Believe, by Wes King, and then we're going to come back and we're going to pray with you in just a moment.
Are you one of those who know the Lord and love to worship Him? Hi, I'm Kim from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and I welcome you to join us next Sunday morning at 11 for our service. We love to come together in praise and worship of our wonderful Lord. The Word tells us in Psalm 92, 1 through 2, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to thy name, O Most High, to declare thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness by night. We are encouraged to come into God's house and have a truly meaningful worship experience in His presence. At Beacon of Hope, you will find joy, excitement, and fulfillment as you enter into the celebration of praise. We look forward to worshiping with you very soon. We are located at 1812 Main Street in Dunedin, next door to Pizza Hut. Check out our website at www.beaconofhopeministries.com for directions and details about the ministry of Beacon. We hope to see you next Sunday and bring a friend.
And a rest. God is good. I do confess. I believe in Adam and Eve, in a tree, in a garden, in a snake and a thief. Years, no one understood. Well, I believe Elijah never died. He caught fire from heaven on a mountainside. Well,
I believe in the Word of God.